There are health benefits in raising vegetables, both in cultivating the plants and eating the produce. Gardeners who plant tomatoes owe a debt to a horticulturist who taught at the University of California in Davis. He died earlier this month, and NPR's Dan Charles has an appreciation.
When I first met Charlie Rick in the early 1990s, he was wandering around the lobby of an office building in Washington, D.C., looking completely out of place. In the midst of people wearing dark suits and ties, Charlie Rick was dressed to go gardening. He had on loose, rumpled trousers and a floppy fisherman's hat. Charlie Rick always wore that fisherman's hat, whether he was trekking across the mountains of Latin America or accepting awards at a black tie dinner. That hat said loud and clear where Charlie Rick's home was, in the world of fields and mountains and soil and plants. Rick was the world's undisputed authority on tomatoes. And more than that, there's probably no one on Earth who so dominated the study of any plant. For 60 years, he collected every odd and mutant form of the tomato that he could lay his hands on. Long before this sort of thing became fashionable, he went on expeditions through the Andes Mountains, the tomato's ancestral homeland, collecting plants related to the tomato that grew wild there. Rick assembled the world's biggest collection of such specimens and unlocked their most intimate secrets. There was, for instance, the mystery of the tomato seeds from the Galapagos Islands that refused to grow in his greenhouse. Rick started thinking, what existed in the Galapagos that he didn't have in Davis, California? Well, tortoises, for one thing. So he fed those seeds to some giant Galapagos tortoises, retrieved the seeds from what came out the other end, planted them, and they grew perfectly. He didn't just collect. He directed a small army of graduate students who sifted through his collection and discovered hidden treasures, genes for different colors of fruit, harvesting times, or the ability to withstand devastating plant diseases. Rick shared these riches freely. Tomato seed companies took the plants and crossbred them with popular commercial varieties. Today, every time you take a bite from a tomato, you're almost certainly consuming genes from Charlie Rick's collection. But don't blame Rick for the sorry state of supermarket tomatoes. Blame a system that's set up to deliver tomatoes by the ton, anywhere, year-round. As Rick used to tell people, if you want a tomato that tastes good, pick it yourself. Charlie Rick was not a sentimental man, and he cared little about fame or social convention. He detested funerals and teary remembrances. When I die, he instructed his son and daughter, I want no funeral. Charles Rick died on the 5th of May, at the age of 87. There was no memorial service. But his legacy is everywhere. The next time you see a tomato, tip your hat to Charlie Rick. Dan Charles, NPR News, Washington.